Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And this week we're going to talk about an article in the 2026 OHSAA white book called Mechanics Miscues.
Love it. This is going to be fun. I haven't read it, so we're going to do this blind. Pete, I don't think you read it either.
Nope.
All right. So we have no idea what we're going to get into here. This is probably going to be like an hour and a half episode or something. I don't know.
We can see the bullet points. I did read what they're over, but I didn't read their notes on each one. So these are things to them, to the OHSA, the people writing these books, leadership. The following is a list of miscues regarding umpire mechanics that we continue to see in our contests. So they're not bringing these up because they need filler for the article and because they're sitting there going, let's just harp on the same 12 things. What they're saying is these things are things that we see every time we go and we evaluate games. We see these things over and over and over again. So that means that given our audience, probably some of you who maybe need these reminders.
And, probably me.
You know, yeah, see. We may be pointing a finger out or pointing four back. So it's entirely possible. So that's edify.
And so then they finished that with saying, hey, let's work on improving these in 2026. The first one is timing. So timing continues to be a problem. Whether on the plate or bases, do not rush your call. Remember, stop and set, see the whole play, then make your call. Love that one. Good friend of mine recognized that he had this problem in a NCAA game. We had review and he's like, oh man, I called that real fast. And I'm like, yeah, you did. Let's see if it was right. You know? So really, really kind of wait, see the play. And that's also on strikes, mm-hmm. Right? I think Pete, you had a story. Was it a strike three call that I had? I think you were watching one of my plate games mm-hmm. and I had saw the pitch, catcher had it. I replayed the pitch in my brain to make sure I saw what I saw.
Yeah.
And then gave the guttural, you know, like mm-hmm. I do, and stood and indicated the strike. And I think
it was first base coach. So I was umpiring. There was no one on base. So I'm over there by first base. And the first base coach was like, oh, he knew that wasn't a strike. That's what took him so long, or like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what's funny is they always say about timing, especially for things like that, it's not actually as long as it might seem to you in the moment. And in there, it was not in the moment. But it's like, I feel like he wanted the slap of the glove and the call, and it wasn't. And it was a borderline pitch. It was outside, you know, in the outside area. I'm not saying it was outside the strike zone. I'm saying it was an outside pitch. So you saw it. You made sure you saw what you saw. You probably had an initial impression. You're probably thinking strike as it came across. And you thought in your head, that was close. Was it really a strike? Yes, it was. And like I said, it wasn't that long exactly of a thing, but as he's just grumpy, of course, he's offense, so he wanted that to go, you know,
yeah,
he wanted
that swing call at it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, cool. But anyway, yeah. So, and that's not just on, my point was not just on the out and safe calls on the field, but also on your strike and ball calls. Make sure that you've seen the play, see the whole thing. I think, but they were probably more focusing on the plays on the bases, you know, mm-hmm. the safe and out calls. Make sure you saw the whole play. Remember from our points of emphasis, one I think just released very recently, that get in position, see the whole play, see through the play, see all the elements yep. of the play, all that kind of stuff, and timing.
It's yeah, you might want your SportsCenter highlight where you're running up to the play and the person slides in and the tag's down and like you hear the leather slap the shoe and like you're out and you're like punch it out and like
almost fall down.
Yeah. Yeah. You want this amazing like bang, 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 like a Michael Bay movie with explosions and, you know, no.
Probably not.
No, just see it, you know, bang it.
Yep. Exactly. You know,
but let's be smart.
All right. So what's the next bullet here, Pete?
Yeah. So pointing versus safe or fair signals. When there is a trapped ball, batted or thrown, give the safe signal. If it is near the foul line, give the fair signal. Pointing to the ground is not a signal in this case.
Wow. Okay.
So this is something, I guess this is a very specific situation. I'm guessing they've seen this a couple times. I don't remember this being at other reminders. So this is one, maybe it's just popped up or something people are seeing a lot. Just the idea here that trapped ball, so we're talking about a ball that was potentially caught, but was not caught. It was just like gotcha. Held between the glove and the ground. It's not a blocked ball. We're talking about a trap. So this is,
okay. you know, not a catch, a trap.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
All right. Give the safe signal. So what you're saying is, you know, not an out, a safe. And so you're signaling to indicate, I know this was a close play. What happened? There's no verbal, just right. arms.
Yep.
And if it's near the foul line, this is always important, point fair, indicate fair. But, you know, your point, it says pointing to the ground is not a signal. So you're not pointing down saying balls down, balls, you know, that kind
right.
of thing.
Gotcha.
Your point, all you're doing is give the safe signal and then point into the diamond.
Point fair. Yep.
Yep.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Perfect. Yeah. The other one that you're talking about, balls down is kind of like an umpire to umpire communication, mm-hmm. helping your partner, your old partner who is now hustling into the diamond to button the hook or saying, hey, do I have to really run? It's like, yeah, you better. The ball's down, dude. Let's go. All right. So the next one is unnecessary foul calls. A pet peeve of mine. Oh, my goodness. Let's see what it says. There is no need for a signal or vocal on obvious foul balls. Balls hit directly into the backstop or screen, or balls hit out of play.
Nothing makes you look like a new umpire more than doing that, because you're nervous and you want to do it exactly right, and you want to be the guy in charge, and the ball's fouled straight back into the screen, and you go, foul ball! And it's just like, dude, everyone knows.
Yeah, everybody knows. No one's doing anything. Yep. You know, the right fielder went running over toward the fence and, you know, hit the fence and watched the ball 20 feet over.
Land in the cars.
Land in the parking lot. And you go, foul! It's like, really? Don't do that. Please don't do that. But I got busted. Frosty busted me. USA softball tournament. I asked him to come and evaluate, you know, be super harsh. And I had a right-handed batter hit a ball that, to me, being on the line, was obviously foul and was tailing to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yep, that one's foul. So there wasn't a lot of movement from behind the plate, and a no call, all that. And in between half innings, boy, did I ever catch it. Frosty's like, you got to get out there. That ball was close to the line. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to define close to the line. I take the feedback, you know. It's like, okay, yes, you're absolutely right. What was close to the line? It was probably 8 feet, and that's close enough. I agree with him on that. It's like, yep, get your butt out there, you know, make it look like you're hustling. So, or actually hustle.
Yeah. Well, there's
that. Be deceptive. Yeah. Actually hustle.
You know, all you have in life is sincerity. And once you can fake that, you're in.
And you're good. Oh, Lord. All right. What's the next one?
Sell safe or sell out calls. So we talked about this for a second, but like, be sure to use them on close plays, but only on close plays. Right. No showboating. Don't try to get your Sports Center highlight moment. Don't get out there and
all I can see is that plate umpire out there doing
all the dances,
walking in circles, and then walking in backward circle, and then bang.
Yeah, the ball's hit back to the pitcher. Sharp ball back to the pitcher. She lazily throws it to first. The runner hasn't even gotten a third of the way, and you're like, oh. No, that's a no verbal. That's a almost lazy out. Hand to the dude. Yeah, boom.
Out, got her. Yeah.
It's just a call, right? We're not selling everything.
Yeah, to be crystal clear, though, it's not a no verbal. There is still an out verbal, but it's not, certainly not a loud one. And then the opposite of that, what Pete just described is also true. I think, shout out to Todrick Davis, Central Ohio umpire here. Very good one. Says, pay her off. Right. Yeah. So if there is a very close call, you know, the shortstop made a heck of a play. She fired one to first from her knees, and, you know, it's a bang bang play, then boy, sell it. You know, that shortstop deserves to hear you actually get that sellout call. All right. Next is infield fly. When one umpire signals or calls the infield fly, all umpires should give the signal, which is fully extending the right arm above the head with a clenched fist. Show the signal until the play is over. Signal. There are two different things, right? There's a signal and a verbal. So the plate umpire is going to signal and say infield fly. If it's close to the foul line, he's going to say if fair.
Yes.
He or she. Sorry. And the other umpire or umpires should repeat the signal, not the verbal. What's next? It's a big, long one, Pete. You better take this one. I don't know if I can read that many words. It's the most words, as my good friend Nate Morgazzi would say.
So this is it's a little similar to one of the previous points here, but status. On fly balls and line drives hit close to the foul line, as soon as the ball is touched by the fielder, give fair or foul status by pointing into fair or foul territory, and then continue to umpire the play. If the ball first touched over fair territory is not caught and bounces into foul territory, give a vigorous fair ball signal. If touched over foul territory, give the foul ball signal. If first touched over foul territory and caught, give the out signal only. Remember, the ball remains live and the runners can tag in advance. Calling a foul ball here will kill that play. Can't uncall the foul ball.
That's right. So really important one here and this is a NFHS USA mechanic for sure, indicating quietly at the first touch.
Yeah.
It's going to be fair. It's kind of like, man, if this falls down, if this does not get caught, it's going to be fair. So I'm pointing, right? I'm pointing into fair territory. I'm thinking about the right field baseline, right? The right field, fair foul line. And so I'm pointing fair. If it gets caught, it's going to be an out. But if it falls down, it's going to be fair. I don't care where it falls down. It can fall down in fair or foul.
I've indicated 6 inches from the line. And the next time when it actually hits the ground is 3 feet fair because it bunked off their dome. Doesn't matter.
That's a foul ball, right? That's the extra one, right? So the other one is, say, hey, I'm pointing foul. If it's first touched over foul territory, so that if it's not caught, I'm going to kill it foul ball. If it is caught, I'm going to call it a caught fly ball, right? So that's the out. But you're indicating that first so that everybody knows. And actually, this is probably just as much for you as it is for everybody else. It's really just as much for the calling umpire because it's forcing you to say, oh, if she doesn't catch this, is it fair or foul?
Right.
It's like, oh, I need to know. Is this going to be a fair ball if it's not caught or a foul ball? So there's no difference if it's caught. Doesn't matter. But if it's not caught, it matters very much where it was touched first. It also matters that if you have base runners on base, that's when they can take off.
Right. I was just about to say, the important thing there is 90-some% of the time is first caught or first touched is when it's caught. However, the rule is you can leave your base on a tag up when it's first touched. So otherwise, you know, as I've kind of jokingly said before, any fly ball to center field, the center fielder could bounce the ball off his glove or her glove like a Savannah banana and just bounce, like hot potato the ball between their hands and wait till they get to the infield and then let the ball secure into their glove and no one could ever run. So you'd never have potentially a sack fly because if the touch didn't matter, if only the catch mattered, you could juggle the ball, quote unquote, juggle the ball to the infield and no one could ever run.
That's right.
It'd be a skill you could build up and you could cheat that way.
You could cheat that way. So crystal clear. That's the reason it's on the first touch. So that's not the scenario that Pete gave you is not how you can play it because the runner can leave on the first touch.
Right.
Yep. I like the example just because it's funny where the center fielder is trying to catch the ball and it tips off of her glove and then right in the middle of her forehead and bounces, you know, 2 feet up in the air and then she bobbles it and then she catches it. And of course, we don't want any concussions or anything like that, but it's just kind of a funny visual for me. You know, your daughter being an outfielder, she probably wouldn't think that's very funny.
Nope, not at all.
All right. So next, we're going to tighten our pivots. This is an important one as well. So base umpires are reminded that our mechanics require them to pivot inside the infield when a ball is hit to the outfield. These pivots should be tight to the bases and not more than 10 to 12 feet from the baseline. Too many base umpires are observed coasting into the center of the infield. Also, while pivoting, it's important to watch the runners touch the bases. So another pet peevish, and I've actually been to a clinic where they were teaching a wide pivot. And I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? This is not how we. So now we're calling them pivots here. And did you notice that?
There's no, the BH?
Yeah, the button hook term was not used here. So, which I love. But a tight pivot is important because you have a job to do. As a base umpire, if you think about a fly ball that flies, you're in the A, so first base side foul territory, and a fly ball goes over your head. Your job is to get inside the diamond and turn to watch the base runner, the batter runner now, contact first base, even if she's going to hit a double, even if she's hit a triple. Your job is to get in there and get turned fast enough so that you can now have all the elements of the play in front of you, which is the batter runner, the F3, the base, and the ball coming from the outfield. You got to get in there and get turned. Taking a wise, I mean, maybe you're quick. Maybe you're a little Speedy Gonzales. Maybe you're not a 270-pound. I'm glad to be able to say that. Maybe you're not a 270-pound, 55-year-old man, and you can be really, really quick and take maybe a little bit wider approach. But just get in there. No more than 10 to 12 feet means 8 feet's pretty good. So yeah. Tight button hooks are good. A lot of times I think we're cheating because we think we're probably going to go to second. And if I take a diagonal route, you know, I'm closer to second if I have to get on
less
my
runners.
Horse, but get on your horse, right? Get in there, get turned and get on your horse. So, and by the way, this is high school. So who's got third base on that anyway? If she hits a triple,
you do.
Better hurry.
So batted ball hits a second time off the batter. So when a batted ball is hit a second time or comes in contact with the batter, the base umpire should call dead ball immediately. The umpires may need to confer to determine the position of the batter, fair or foul territory to determine whether or not to assess an out.
Yeah, that's right. So we used to see this a lot when we were coaching. I haven't seen it too much in the higher levels of ball. It happens sometimes, but not very often, where they'll say, hey, I think that hitter, will you go ask your partner? And it's like, if he saw it hit her, he'd have killed it.
Dead balled it. Yeah.
He'd have killed it. So he or she didn't see it, you know, because they didn't kill it. Now, that's only true if you're actually following the mechanics and doing your job. And what OHSA is telling us here, they're seeing some folks not doing
their job.
Yeah. So just make sure you're killing it. Saves your partner a lot of trouble. Saves the girls from running too far. Saves a lot. So you see a dead ball situation, call it in that manner. Be careful about dead balls, like ball going, becoming blocked, you know, or leaving the field of play or that kind of thing. Make sure that the calling umpire is the correct calling umpire. All right, next, obstruction enforcement. If the obstructed runner is put out on the play, the umpire should call dead ball. Please do not call the runner out and then reverse your call with the obstruction award. That's interesting. The mechanic used to be,
right,
you officiate the play, out, dead ball, and then you make her safe. Mm-hmm. So I like this. I like this better. But I like being able to just say dead ball. I'm not going to call her out if I'm going to give her safe, right? So I like it. Obstruction being a point of emphasis this year. So I want to take the opportunity to remind the listeners, the most important thing to gauge obstruction is, was the runner impeded? If the runner was not impeded, do you have obstruction? No. The runner must be impeded. That doesn't mean less obstruction calls necessarily. It means, hey, this is how we evaluate. If the defense impeded the progress of the runner without the ball, that's obstruction. Done. I think we're headed back that way. Talking to some rules folks.
Yeah.
I think a couple of the sanctions, actually three, I think the NFHS, the NCAA, and USA Softball is headed away from over-explaining obstruction. I think we're going back to a much more simple rule. I can't wait. I'm very excited about that. It went through some iterations, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, all right, what's next?
Game management. The base umpire should assist the plate umpire and make necessary corrections when violations are observed, such as the on-deck batter positioning in front of the opponent's dugout or the presence of team personnel outside the dugout.
Oh, I like it. Happens a lot. One of my district games last year had a coach standing out, you know, the assistant coach standing out on the field of play, you know, in front of the dugout, both times, defense and offense. It's like, getting there. I have a U3 standing right there. Help me out.
Yeah. If they're not thinking or not paying attention, yeah, this is everyone. For some stuff like that, everyone can officiate that. Help it out.
Yep. Excessive brushing.
This is a huge pet peeve on the internet. This is one that people often argue about, whether or not who should have which brush in their bag to do what should you brush off, what's actually necessary, everything else. But yeah, no need to brush the pitcher's plate every half inning if it's not covered with dirt. This specifically applies when playing on artificial turf. Are people really going over and brushing off the pitcher's plate when you're playing on turf?
They might. You never know. This is a pet peeve of mine as well. And it changes depending on the sanction that you're in, because mm-hmm. there are some NCAA assigners that their pet peeve is, it's half inning. It's your job as U3 to get the pitcher's plate every half inning. Get over there and get it. Some assigners have that as a pet peeve. It was really important, Pete, you know, and we had all kinds of craziness about illegal pitches on the pitcher. And it's like, well, I really can't even see the pitcher's plate, so I'm not sure if she did or she didn't, you know, that kind of thing. Most of those are gone now. And, you know, the rules have changed enough now.
Yeah.
And some sanctions, you can actually lose contact with the pitcher's plate, and it's perfectly legal. We talked about that one a few episodes mm-hmm. ago. So
to the moon.
To the moon. Right. So anyway, the last thing, and I think I love this one. It might not even be from this section. It was sourcing the right sources continued, right? So where are you getting your stuff from? But there was a bold statement here that I think applies to this one as well. Stick to the books. Don't be the MSU umpire, making stuff up. Umpire.
You know what's funny is every time, so when I was new to the social media aspects and forums and stuff like that of umpiring, I kept seeing people refer to, oh, that's the MSU rule book. That's the MSU rule book. And to me, MSU means Michigan State University. So I'm sitting there going, like, I think there's some kind of sanction. Maybe it's Michigan softball umpire, like whatever it is. I don't know. And so I'm sitting here thinking that this is an actual rule book sanction that's got all these wild rules in it that people are they're confused about. But no, it's really just the making stuff or other words, stuff up.
Oh, you mean the S might not be stand for stuff?
No.
Oh.
Sassafras.
That's a...
Okay. Sarsaparilla.
Those would be bad words.
Salmonella.
Salmonella, maybe. Okay, so we don't have, that's mechanics miscues from the book.
Well, one I should point on the brushing too, I think, the point, and I didn't say it, but Also, don't hold up a play to brush a base unless it's absolutely necessary. Yep. An idea, like someone's coming in, there's a play, and something's happening over the base. Don't run in and just immediately feel like you got to brush dirt off because it was a big, dirty slide into the base. Do it when it's available, when it's needed.
Yep.
There are plenty of times when the game's got a second of downtime.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't hold up the game. If you notice it's really, really, really dirty and in between innings and you want to go brush second base, go for it. I'm not a huge advocate for brushing off bases because somebody slid into it, for sure, especially if you're going to be holding up the game. And now here's also a very bad thing. Don't do this. Don't run by and say, hey, short, get that bag, would you? You know, don't ever tell a player what to do. You don't do that. They do their thing. Okay, so we've started finishing up with a social media post. Did we have one for today?
Yeah, so here's an interesting one. This one was posted in NFHS. We are trying to keep it topical to where we're at. And this is a post where it said, can you imagine if we actually had harsh penalties in for NFHS? Position changes, unreported or misreported subs, conferences being kept and enforced, timing rules being enforced, half the coaches wouldn't last a game before being ejected by rule, and half the umpires would try to say they didn't think we needed such harsh penalties so they wouldn't enforce them. Most of the time, if we just do our job and be aware of the game, we resolve those concerns anyway. When you notice a pitcher has changed or a catcher has changed, just write it down. Use the lineup card as a diary of the game. Note all of your conferences, note all of your courtesy runners. Don't waste time chatting with your partner or the fans between half innings. Be aware of your surroundings and focus on your job while you're there. Make the game run smoother. And then I'll add something here as well, because if you read this and it says, when you notice a pitcher's change or catcher's change, just write it down. And it sounds like the suggestion here is we're letting a mistake slide, you know, where the coach has not
right.
done their job to the most correctness. And someone pointed that out a little lower, says something about, let the coach know, don't just write it down. Let the coach know that they did not report a substitute, pitching change, et cetera, and issue the team warning. If there's a consequence, in most cases, the behavior will be corrected. Otherwise, we're just kicking the can down the road. And the original poster here, oh, this isn't super controversial. So the original poster here, Ray Burwell on the group, issues a warning. And then he said, he agreed, he added the person who said it and said, issue a warning if one is necessary, absolutely. So he's not saying don't enforce the punishments here, but it's his point seems to be more about, and again, mechanics miscues. So this is a little bit about between inning mechanics or game management mechanics and saying, you notice a change, make the change. You may issue a punishment because no one told you about it, but note it, do that thing down, be proactive so that you're not caught in some situation where your lineup card doesn't reflect the game and you knew it. There's a difference between someone sends a batter up to bat and it's an unreported substitute and you didn't notice and someone has to go, time, I think she batted out of order, or this isn't the right substitute. That's fine, that'll happen. But if you noted, yeah, and then that way you can enforce it later or whatever you're gonna do.
Yeah, I think you're right, Pete. I think it's really game management stuff, and Ray's got a lot of great points that he puts in this post, as well as many others as well. But one thing I would caution on, especially about the changing of pitchers and catchers, of course, in NFHS, it's important to note those. They're real position changes on defense. Mm-hmm. Really, in NFHS, it doesn't matter if your left fielder pops over and plays right field or, you know, anything like that. But since we have courtesy runners in high school, it's important for us to know that the pitcher who the pitcher and the catcher are. It's also important to understand when the flex leaves the game on defense. So if the flex does not come out and play defense. And so fun story about that in just a second. But to finish up this thought on, if you see a pitching change, just note it. Be careful. The pitcher may come running out of the dugout and go take some warm-up pitches. And you're noticing that. Don't write it down and issue a warning yet. We're still in dead ball situation here. The coach still has time to come out and say, hey, I've got a change for you, Blue, right? If it's time to play ball and you've noticed and the coach is not out, now it's time to go over and say, time, come here, coach. You've got a problem. Now here's a situation. A good friend, Mark Downs, brought this up the other night. He had this happen to him in a regional semifinal game last year. Won't call out any schools, but calling out Mark because he's caught it. So, you know, it's a great call out. The one of the coaches came over, made some changes and said, and my flex is going back to center field. And Mark was like, hey coach, where was your flex? Well, she was on the bench. Okay. So now she's playing center field. And just so you know, coach, that's her re-entry. So she had been taken out and you had an unreported sub.
Uh-huh.
And so here's your warning. Now, don't get upset. It's just a warning. What I haven't said to Mark, I meant to twice, because he got to tell the story Tuesday and he got to tell it again on Wednesday. And I keep forgetting to talk with him about it. It can be a big deal, though, because if they had already received a warning for the lineup, it's not, you only get one lineup card warning mm-hmm. per game. And so
it doesn't have to be a flex DP warning versus a pitching change warning. It's one lineup.
One lineup warning. That's it. And so if they had already received a lineup warning earlier in the game, now we have a bigger problem. Right. So now we've got somebody restricted to the bench and, you know, it's not fun. Be really, really careful before you get them in trouble unnecessarily. They may have been on their way out to say, hey, I've got a change for you. But, it's a good one. That's really good. And all of the game management stuff. So what Ray's saying is, you know, hey, we don't really need harsher penalties if you have good game management. Mm-hmm. Because how often do we actually invoke the harsh penalty anyway? You know, we try really, really hard. I try really, really hard not to eject a coach, right? Even when they're doing egregious stuff. Like, I've had coaches charge me, like, and they're coming and they're getting in their face and they're yelling at you. And I do everything I can to de-escalate that. Dude, you're impassioned. I get it. You care about your girls. I get it. You think they've been wronged. I get it. You're yelling at me. Stop yeah. yelling at me. I should have ejected you. You know, I've been told by college assigner, oh, you should have booted him. Probably. But, you know, I kept him in the game. It's fine. His girls, you know, it sucked. It's fine. We try really hard not to. Harsher penalties, probably not needed if you actually have good game management, right? If they're taking more than the 60 seconds in the half inning, you know, to get ready, it's hustle them up and say, yeah, I don't have a timer out here, but I know how long a minute is. Girls, let's go.
Yeah.
Come on, coach. You know, we got to get it moving here. You know, hey, two innings in a row, coach. Next inning, let's go. We're going to hustle. Come on. We got to get it. It gets dark. It's Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be dark before you know it. So anyway, good game management will help with all of that stuff. So I'm one of the umpires, I think Ray's talking about, that says, I don't want the harsher penalties. Mm-hmm. I just want the umpires to have really good game management. And I think most all of the coaches would be fine with that.
True.
So
that wraps us for this time then, I think.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Until then, next time.